The Mishnah Yud Gimel finally quoted the original Machlokes Bishami Beis Hillel, that the opening Mishnah already took a stand like Beis Hillel, namely whether Tzoras Habas is Misyabem Misanat. And then the Gemara goes on to a whole discussion on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis, goes on and on and on for a few dafim Gemara, whether also Bishami Kidivreim, Aloy also Bishami Kidivreim. When the Bishami knew that they were outvoted, in most cases, Hillel were the majority, Bishami were the minority. So when they were outvoted, did they follow their own opinion or not? And in going through the Gemara, we came upon three different parts to the Shaila. One part to the Shaila is, well, it says in the Chumash Acharei Rabban Lahatoi, so they're outvoted, so they themselves are not allowed to follow their opinion. So Tosfos says that's obvious that it's not so. Tosfos Yudalim and Aleph, the second Tosfos from the top. They did not follow their own opinion. Tema, it says all over the place that they followed their own opinion. That's not a secret. So of course, whoever has a Rebbe Muvik is permitted and obligated to follow the opinions of his Rebbe Muvik if the Rebbe is entitled to an opinion. Rebbe is not entitled to an opinion. So the Rebbe is not allowed to follow his opinion. But if the Rebbe is a Chochm Shigir Lohairoa, so those Tambidim who follow him, they follow Ben Lahokal Ben Lahachmer, that's certainly. So, that also Bishami Kidivrem. The next part to the Shaila was, whether also Bishami Kidivrem, did they still continue to paskin, like their opinion, when other Balabatim would ask him a Shaila? All right, they are Talmidim of Shammai, or Talmidim of the Bishami, whichever happens to be. Shammai and Hillel, Hillel and Shammai were the chief rabbi and assistant chief rabbi, the Gemara says, 100 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni. And then after they passed away, so the Beis Hillel and the Beis Shammai continue on for a long time, till after the Churban HaBayis. So the question is, did the Beis Shammai feel that they're still entitled, that they follow their Rebbe, that's their Rebbe Muvik, that they feel that they're still entitled to paskin to other Balabatim who are neither students of Beis Shammai nor students of Beis Hillel? So that they should agree, that Acher Rabban Lahatos, they should tell the Balabatim, we have our own personal opinion, but you have to follow the majority. Or did they, for some reason or another, think that they're allowed to continue paskening to the Hamaynam also, like the Beis Shammai? Why should that be? Isn't there a klal acharam lahatois? Like it today, when someone comes to ask a shayla of a tamachochem. So the tamachochem has to ask, are you a yekeh? So the din is one way. Are you a poilusha? So the din is another way. Are you a galatiana? The din is like this. Depending who the shayla is, he's going to give a different psak based on the paskim that person should, if you're a Svardi or an Ashkenazi, he's going to be a different psak. Just because the Chochem is a Svardi, he's not supposed to force Svardi psak on the Ashkenazi. An Ashkenazi is not supposed to force Ashkenazi psak on the Svardi. He's supposed to ask, what background do you come from and what psak, what tradition of psak do you want? So why should anybody think that Beis Shammai didn't follow their opinion? That's what they said. Of course they followed their opinion. That's the din. The Talmidim followed their Rebbe Muvik. Why should anybody think that Beis Shammai were allowed to paskin their opinion to the Hamaynam? So the Gemara says, yeah. The Rav Doisa ben Hurkanis had a younger brother who was a whippersnapper. And he was at Santez Zainim and Aleph. What was his name? Forgot already his name. Yonison Shmuel, here. Yeah. Near the last of the narrow lines on Tezainim and Alm. So Rav Doisa ben Hurkanis was a Tana. And he had a younger brother who was from the Beis Shammai, Yonis and Shmo, who Talmid Shammai, and he would paskin to the public, he never gave in. He said, even though Acharam Lahatus, he never gave in. Like the Svardim forcing Svardi Psak on the Ashkenazim, Ashkenazim forcing Ashkenazi Psak on Svardim. Isn't that dead wrong? You know, it's whatever tradition you come from, he's supposed to paskin according to their tradition. So if the Shoalim, if the Balabatim who are asking the Shailas are neither from the Beis Shammai nor from the Beis Hillel, they're from the Hamaynam. They're not Talmidim of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. So shouldn't Beis Shammai tell him the Psak of the Rabbim? So the Gemara says, no. This Yonison ben Hurkanis, the younger brother of Rabbi Doisa ben Hurkanis, held, like the Gemara explains on Yudal and Aleph, in addition to all the other disputes between the Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, there was on top of it, there was another machlokes. When the Torah has a din, acharam lahatois, so the Shach writes in Yoridei and Hilchas Hoiruah Sisev Heter that the klal acharam lahatois doesn't apply when the miut opinion is in a totally different league. That's what I said, Rabbi Soloveitchik once made such a humorous comment that all the rabbis and rabbinical council in America would say one way, my grandfather Rabbi Chaim will say the other, I'm not going to follow a rabbi. That's what the Shach writes. If the Yochid is in a different league, he can't be outvoted by the rabbi. But here the question is, the Beishamai were not in a different league, but the Beishamai were Mechavadi Tvei, they were sharper. So Yonason ben Hurkanis, the younger brother of Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkanis, held like that Svara that the Gemara develops on Yudal and Amin Aleph. That's what the Minchas Chinuch points out from this Gemara. It says, in addition to all the other disputes between the Beisham and Beisil, there was another Machlokes regarding the Din of Acharam Lahatus. Does Acharam Lahatus apply when the Miut is Mechada Ditvei? Not that they're in a different league, not that they're head and shoulder way above the Beisil, not head and shoulder, they were sharper than the Beisil. So the Beisham were of the opinion, Mechada Ditvei, that also Beisham and Kedivim, they continued to paskin for the Hamoinam. Like their shita, they held that trumps Acharam Lahatus. So that's the Gemara has a whole discussion. Was that so? So Yonason ben Hurkanis used to paskin for the public, Mata de Tzoras Habas lehis yabim. And it could be that others from the Bishamai were not so, did not do like that. They themselves would, of course, would follow Bishamai shita, but they wouldn't paskin for the Hamoin. I'm like Bishamai. No, everyone is supposed to follow the opinions of his Rebbe, but the Zalkamar is one who paskins for the public against the Bez Nahagorl. One who knows the Bez Nahagorl made a mistake. Let's say I marked their exam papers when they were students for Smicha. And I know that they all passed with 65s. And they gave them Smicha, and the yeshiva never evokes any Smichas. They don't deserve to be members of the Bez Nahagorl. But bottom line, they're the Bez Nahagorl. So I'm not allowed to paskin against them in public. It'll destroy the authority of the unity of the authority of Klal Yisrael. But I know that they're all wrong. This was from the 35% that they didn't know. They only got 65. This is one of the questions that they didn't know. They had a choice 10 out of 13. So not only 35% of what they answered they didn't know, there are another 30 points that they didn't know either. So I'm not allowed to follow what they paskin. I know that they don't know what they're talking about, but I'm not allowed to paskin in public against them. I'm not allowed to follow my opinion in public either, because when a big Talmud Chacham Shigiyah Lo Hayroa puts on tefillin in public, so that's also a psak. When he shakes the lulav in a certain way, that's also a psak. So he knows what the din is, so he has to follow the din correctly, privately. He shouldn't follow that din in public. And then there was a third aspect to the diyun of Asa Bisham Kedivrayim. What if the Bisham and the Bisil are together in the same base medrash, they're together in the Azara, and one of them is in the majority? Once in a while, even though the Bishamai were in the minority, one can conceive of the possibility that one day in the Beis HaMikdash in the Azara, the Rav of the people in attendance in the Azara from the Bishamai, or the Rav of the people in the Beis HaKnesses from the Bishamai. So it's a question, is the minority, and each one is going to follow what his Rebbe said, but you're going to have, it's a machlokes over here, it's a machlokes. What the din is. So it's going to be Nasis Niris Kiilu Dami L'Shtei Torahs. Rashi writes on the first wide line on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, it looks as if there's more than one religion over here. That's terrible. So the Gemara raises a possibility. Maybe this is a violation of Lois's Gerdudu. Loisasim Agudas Agudas. If they're all together in the Azor at one time, maybe whoever is in the minority is not allowed to follow his opinion. What do you mean? So he has to follow the opinion of the majority. But it's wrong. So that's what the Gemara says in Erevin on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. And the many disputes between the Bisham and Mesil, the minority is not wrong. We assume that Eilu V'Eilu Divri L'Kim Chaim. So usually the original comment, Eilu V'Eilu Divri L'Kim Chaim, is referring to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. When you study Torah, you fulfill a mitzvah. What if I know that there's a certain moron who wrote a sefer, and everything he says is wrong, and I read the sefer? So that's entertainment. That's a comic book. That's not a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. I know in advance that there's a high likelihood, there's a high probability that everything is going to be wrong in that book. See, not in fulfillment of Talmud Torah. The person himself has a weak head, and he thinks that he's attempting to figure out what the Torah says. So to the best of his ability, he's Mekayim Talmud Torah. The Gemara tells a story about the Tana, Shimon HaMasani, and the other version on Nechemya HaMasani. He reached the Pasuk, Es Hashem al kechatira pirish. He stopped saying the drushes. So the Talmidim said, he said, no, my drushes, it's all wrong. So they asked, what's going to be all the notebooks that we have, all the drushes that you developed from Bereshis till Es Hashem al kechatira? So he said, kishem shekibalti schar ala drisha, kachani akabel schar ala prisha. I got reward, calls man, I was saying drushes on Es, I got reward because I thought that it was correct. Even though now it turns out that it's incorrect. He got reward because he thought that he was that it was correct. But now I'll get reward for not saying falsh Torah. So you see from that Gemara that you get schar for attempting to learn Torah, even if he misunderstood. That's the Ravid starts his Asogas on the Rif in the fourth parak in the third parak or the fourth, I think the fourth parak in Ksubas. He writes that the Rif was a towering figure at that time. He was the big Sefer Psak that everybody used. And the Ravid writes he's very young, probably also a teenager, the Balamor. And the Ravid learned Bahavrusa. So the Balamor wrote his Asogas when he was 19. He writes in his introduction, he wrote when he was 19. And they learned Bahavrusa, probably also late teens or the early 20s. He says, probably what I have to say is wrong, but we get reward for attempting to learn Torah, even if it's incorrect. That's how the Chafetz Chaim interprets the comment that we say when you make a siyum. At the end of a mesichta, so we say, we work hard, and all the other people who work for a living also work hard. We work very hard, and we get paid a lot. All the lawyers and the doctors and the investment bankers, they work very hard. They don't get any salary. What do you mean? They get more schar than the rabbis. What do you mean? So the Chafetz Chaim explains in one of his essays, no, it means, what if the person was working and learning, or the doctor or the lawyer was working very hard, and it didn't work out. He had a route. He attempted a certain mahalach, and it didn't work out at the end. It failed. So in any other field other than learning, if you get an A for effort, but you don't get salary. The guy attempted to build a house. He attempted to make a spaceship, and it didn't fly. So you don't get paid anything for attempting. And learning Torah, if you attempt to learn Torah, even though it turns out that everything is all dead wrong, you still get reward. So we understand the original statement of the Gemara in Erev and Daf Yigimel Amveis, Eilu v'yelu dibre l'kim chayim, means when a person studies the opinions of Beis Shammai and Daf Chof Tes, is going to be a whole sugya about Beis Shammai Shita, that Maimer is the right. So we pask and Maimer is only with the Rabbanan, both the need for Maimer. Maimer is when the Yovan wants to perform Yibum. Some of the Rabbanan, they required he should do Maimer in advance. So we paskin the need for the Maimer is only with the Rabbanan, like Mekadosh Bibiya gets Makas Mardis Mishum Pritzuso. So this is also a form of Mekadosh Bibiya. It's improper with the Rabbanan. And number two, the Chalois of the Maimer, the fact that the Maimer takes effect. And now if the Yovan wants to get rid of the Yibum, he doesn't want to go through with the Yibum. It's not sufficient now if he'll do chalitza. He has to give a get l'mamor and he has to give chalitza l'zikosa. So both the requirement for the maimer and the chalois of the maimer that it causes tvisis kiddushin, it's eishesach. So minatur doesn't make any tvisis kiddushin. The whole thing is only with the rabban. And b'shama shita is not so. B'shama hold that maimer is koinim minatur. So Gemara is going to have a whole discussion, details within b'shama. What are they wasting their breath? We know that the halach is not like b'shama. The answer is no. We get reward for studying b'shama's opinion because it is a chefetz shel Torah. Eilu v'yelu dibre l'kim chayim. They were both based on midrash haTorah and Reshis Bem. And it's a machlekes on a level of deraisa. B'shama hold that maimer is koinim minatur. And it has effect on the level of their eyes. So when we discuss their opinion, we get reward for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But it's even more than that. It's not just Eilu v'yelu dibre l'kim chayim in the sense that you get a mitzvah of Talmud Torah because you're discussing a possibility based on midrash haTorah and Reshis Bem. It's even halacha l'maisa, sometimes it has validity. The minority opinion. We have a lot of dinim that are based on Eilu v'yelu. We must have mentioned some of them already, that halachik de ramekel ba'ovel, whenever there's a machlekes, any sofik avelis called the who, we go the kula. Why? Because even the, let's say, 95% of the tanoim hold one way, and 5% of the tanoim hold the other way. So if it's mamash ashita yichido, nobody agrees, then you don't say elu v'elu de v'lekim chayim. But if it's a minority, might not 5% minority. So then we say, not only if you study their opinion, if you discuss that opinion, you get reward for having fulfilled the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. sometimes you even have a right to follow that opinion. It's considered a suffix holdahu. It's not a real suffix. It's not a 50-50 suffix. It's 95% certain that it's one way. A 5% possibility that this is correct. 5% possibility is sufficient to be considered a suffix holdahu. So we say suffix avelus lahokal, even if avelus is deraisa. We learn that from a pasuk. Suffix avelus lahokal, even if avelus is deraisa. Suffix orla b'chutzlars. Also, may have a whole list of dinim that are based on that. So this also, this halacha, v'lois is going to do, the Gemara raised the possibility. If the Bisham and the Bisila together in the Azor at one time, Zman HaMikdosh, or in the Beis HaMedrash at one time, and the majority happens to be the Beis Shammai, and they're supposed to follow their Rebbe Mubik, they're supposed to follow the Beis Shammai. Even though the halacha is like the Bisila for the Hamay Naam, even though the Bisila certainly should follow their Rebbe, even the Bishami should follow their Rebbe. But if they're all together at one time, and the Rove follow one opinion, then the Miut is not allowed to... That's the Gemara raised the possibility. Maybe the Miut should not be permitted to follow their opinion. Maybe that should be a violation of Lois is Goydudu. What is Lois is Goydudu? So Rashi says it'll be Damila Shtei Torahs. It looks as if it's two different religions. So we pointed out, the Gemara will solve the issue of Lois is Goydudu every so often by saying, it's not Lois is Goydudu. Maybe, let's say, on Erev Pesach, whether you're before Chatzos, whether you're allowed to do Malacha or not. So some places they do Malacha, some places they don't do Malacha. So the Gemara says, two lines from the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Hosam, half of the people are not doing Malacha. You go into a shul on Chol HaMoed, half people are wearing tefillin, half people are not wearing tefillin. Normally, you go into a shul, 95% of the people are wearing tefillin. 5% came late, or they're leaving earlier, they just came back from the bathroom, or going to the bathroom, whatever, 5% are not. But 95% of the people are wearing tefillin. You go on Chol HaMoed, half the people are not wearing tefillin. So it looks, what, half the people just came late to the shul? So it looks like it's Shtei Torahs. We know there's a Shaila where they're supposed to wear tefillin. And they're demonstrating that there's a Machlokes, so that's not permissible. So that's what the Gemara says. If half the people are going to work, half the people are not going to work on that Pesach in the morning, let's say on Thursday of Thanksgiving or Friday, Yom Tov Sheni of Thanksgiving. So half the people in New York don't go to work. It's a religious issue. The government gives off. The banks are closed, whatever. People want to take off. You want to spend time with your family. It doesn't mean Nasa's Turkish day Turks. So if it's Haroyoy, Mamalachu, the Leisla, he doesn't want to go to work. People don't want to go to work. So that's half the people going to work, half the people not going to work on Erev Pesach in the morning. That's not a violation of Lois is good. It doesn't necessarily imply that it's Shtei Torahs. Or the Gemara keeps on mentioning that possibility here. We left off last time on Tezvov and Aleph. There's a machlekes between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel. When you have a mikveh, so the minimum amount of water that you have to have in the mikveh is arboim sah, 40 sah. The Gemara says in the last Perkam Sochem that 40 sah is equivalent to amo alamo birum gimel amas, 3 cubic amas, is 40 sah. How did the Chachamim come up with that volume? That's the minimum amount of water you have to have. So the Gemara explains there in the last Perkam Sochem, we learn now from a person in Chumash Verochat, says, called Besorah Bamayim. A person whose tummy wants to be tovel in the mikvah, a woman who's married has to go to the mikvah, so you can't dip in one leg at a time and one arm at a time, then dip your head in, take your head out, and then dip your chest in, the one side, the other side, you have to dip the entire body, has to be submerged under the water, b'basachas. So how large a volume of water do you need? So it depends how tall and how fat the person is. If he's a giant and he's very fat, you're going to need 80 saw. If he's a little baby, you're going to need 20 saw. So the Gemara says, v'shi'aru chachamim, the rabbis established for an average size person, v'shi'aru chachamim ma'boim saw. So even though the Gemara has an expression, v'shi'aru chachamim, the Rishonim point out that it's not a din derabbanan, it's a din deraisa. Aboim saw is a din deraisa, that's the minimum size. In other words, even if the person is a baby or a midget, he personally can fit into a mikveh, he can be fully submerged under the surface of the water. And less than aboim saw, everybody needs aboim saw. What if the guy's taka a giant and he's very fat? So then, Dorach HaShulchan writes a Dorach Poshen, he needs more than 40 so. He won't be able to be Toivel Kol Gufa Bavasach as an Abayim so. I'll be Pashtus. The Darkei Tshuva by the Munkacher quotes this from Dorach HaShulchan and says it's wrong. It's against the Halacha. The Halacha says 40 so. How can he be wrong? The Halacha says 40 so. It's a light plug even for a midget, even for a baby who's smaller than the average sized person. You always need Abayim so. But if the person is bigger and he simply doesn't fit into Abayim Soh, so of course the Dabba Pasha that he needs Abayim Soh. Remember, I once asked Rabbi Nachum Rabinowitz, who was the Rosh Yeshiva from Ma'ale Adomim, I asked him 35 years ago, how does the Darkei Tshuva disagree with Dorach HaShulchan? Of course he's right. So he said he has a degree in mathematics. So he said, no, mathematically, you can have a mikveh in the shape of the giant, the big fat giant, and he'll dip into the mikveh, and it's only a mashahu of water on the surface of his body. He can also fit into, if it's going to be a normal mikveh, in a cubical shape, rectangular, everything's rectangular, so of course he won't fit in, but if you have a mikveh in his shape, with his big belly, all you need is a mashahu of water, you need he can fit into a boy himself, but nobody builds a mikveh like that, that fits the contour of his body. You think that's what the Darkei Tshuva was masig on the Dorach HaShulchan. Okay, whatever. So the din is that for a mikveh you need Abayim Soh, that's for Tfilas Adam. The Gemara says for Tfilas Kelim, that's you have a little needle. So you're going to say the average kli, a needle is Mekabel Tuma, pots and pans, forks and knives, things that are Tomei. Mekabel Tuma, you want to be Tovah Mikveh. So the average kli needs Abayim Soh. The average size human body to be Tovah. Kol gufa bevasachas, you need Abayim Soh. For the average, what do you mean, average kli? Well, you toivel a desk in the mikveh. How gigantic a kli do you have? Why should you need Abayim Soh? So the Gemara says in the first parak himself, in the end of the first parak himself, the Gemara says that for tefilas kelim and atoira, it's good enough with a revius of water. If you have a mikveh that has a revius of water, it's good enough. And it's only with the Rabbanan that you need Abayim Soh for all kelim. Of course, if you have a pot that's not going to fit into a revius, of course you're going to need more than a revius. Like Dorach HaShulchan said, if you have a giant, a gigantic giant who's very tall and very fat, so the Abayim Soh is not going to be enough. So if you have a pot or a fork, so a revius, water is not sufficient for that kli either. But Al Pidin, the minimum size for a Tevilas Kelim is a revius.
Tevilas Kelim is, we're talking about or also
The last Mishnah in Avodah Zarah talks about one who buys pots and pans and forks and knives from a non-Jew that you use for eating. If you buy a suit from the non-Jew, you buy pajamas, so you don't have to be toivolem unless you're concerned about Tumah V'Tara. Maybe they'll be tummy. But if you buy kelim that you prepare food in, or forks and knives that you eat the food with, so then there's a mitzvah to perform tefilas kelim. That has nothing to do with removing the tumah. That's a different mitzvah. The Issa the Heter by the Rabbi Yoina Ashkenazi write that it's like you megayer the kelim. So that's what the Taisus points out on the last daf in Maseches Avodah Zarah, that since that's a tefilah shel gerus, it's a tefilah shel Issa the Heter, it's not really a tefilah to remove the tumah. So there, kelim do require Abayim Soh min HaTorah. There, that statement that the Gemara made in the first parak of Sochim, that min HaTorah it's enough with a revius. But kelim tmeim to be toivel a little needle, and it's only with the rabbanon that bitlu l'reviyaso they were mevatel the din of revius, and you need abayim soh even for tefilah kelim. So Tosis points out on the last daf on Avodah Zarah that's only for kelim that are tomei, but for the mitzvah of tefilas kelim that's like gerus, like a non-Jew wants to convert, you have to mimigayer him. So we want to eat food cooked in pots and pans, want to eat it with glasses and forks and knives. You have to be Megayer those Kalim, so to speak. So that needs a Abayim Soh min HaTorah. Right, that's a different thing. So here the Gemara has a discussion. What if I have?
We said that Tvila for the Adam is Abayim Soh min HaTorah because the Banam is said to be Mitharaisa. When we say it's Kalim, do we also mean it's Mitharaisa when Abayim Soh is only Darabanam? Because if Rabis is enough, then we battle Rabis Mitharaisa. Do they say that we need
No, no, that's midirabbanan. Abayim saw for kelim tmeim is only midirabbanan, but for adam it says shiaru chachamim. The chachamim estimated, they established that the average adam beinani will need, average sized person needs abayim saw, and they felt that that's the din deraisa, that even a midget and even a baby require abayim saw. And if he's bigger than that, if he's a big fat giant, he needs more than abayim saw. So kelim and ator is enough with a revius. If it's a needle, if it can fit into the riz, it can't fit in, you need more. And with the Rabbanan, they were mevatel that din, and they said, with the Rabbanan, you need Abayim Saw. So here the Mishnah has a discussion, the last three lines, on Tezvav and Aleph. So the Gemara is quoting a Mishnah, that if you have two mikvahs, one next to the other, and the person wants to be tovel in the mikvah, you want to be tovel kelim in the mikvah, and it doesn't have Abayim Saw. But it's open. There's a hole in the wall, like today. People are tovel at a mikveh, and they keep on changing the water in the mikveh. So the water, they fill up the bar hatfila, they fill up from tap water. And the tap water, we're always concerned, maybe it's mayim shuvim. Maybe the way the water reaches, when the rain falls into the reservoir, it's not mayim shuvim. Aye, but all, by now, all the water in the world must have been held in, there's a water cycle. The rabbis in the Talmud knew about the water cycle. So every drop of water, by now, since the days of Adam HaRishon, every drop of water has been contained in a pot. So all the water in the world is Mayim Shuvim. The answer is, but once it evaporates, goes up into the clouds, and it comes down again, Panim Chadosh, it loses its status as Mayim Shuvim. That's for sure. So when the water comes, when the rainwater comes down, falls into the reservoir, it's not Mayim Shuvim. When the water comes from the reservoir to the mikveh, into the basement of the building, so that's a question. We're not so sure whether the pipes that bring the water, if you have a pipe that's open on both ends, the water goes through, that's not Mayim Shuvim, it doesn't hold it. And maybe the pipes were constructed in such a way that they do hold the water. So we're always treating it as a suffering. Maybe the water, the tap water, is Mayim Shuvim. So we always have to have a mikveh that the water collects on the roof and it falls down through a chute into a bore on the ground. But then if you're going to have 10 people table in that mikveh, the water's going to be filthy. Everyone's going to, all the dirt from every, all the perspiration from everybody's body is going to go into the water. So we always change the water. So we have a mikveh that consists of tap water, and 10 people use the water, so we pour it out and we fill it up again. So the tap water is Mayim Shuvim. So the answer is no, we have one mikveh that we don't use. People are not tovel on that. And that's the mikveh with the rainwater that fell down from the roof. Then we have a mikveh that consists of tap water. And we have a nekev, a hashoka, a hole that connects one body of water with the other. So even though this is Mayim Shuvim, the other one is not Mayim Shuvim. So this is considered a branch of the other mikveh. So the same over here, it's not exactly the same. That's what Tosis quotes the Ri, it's not exactly the same. But we'll discuss it in a moment. So a similar thing over here. Let's say you have a mikveh that has less than 40 saw, but it opens up. There's a nekev, there's a hole in the wall in the adjacent room. On the other side, there's water way more than abayim saw. So even though this mikveh doesn't have abayim saw, but the person being tovel is a midget, he's a little baby, and he can fit into 30 saw. And since this mikveh is a branch of the other mikveh, so the other mikveh has 40 saw, this has 30 saw, altogether has 70 saw. It's one big mikveh that has 70 saw. True, he's being tovel in a small body of water. Only a midget can fit over here. But al pidin, the mikveh has 70 saw. So that's called chibur mikvahs. You mechaber two different mikvahs together, and it's considered one mikveh, both with respect to the case where you don't have abayim saw. That's what Rashi says. If you don't have one mikveh, schosa, one mikveh, sholem. Rashi writes, "Matbila mitocha ve'ein ba memsor mikveh shalom hoya b'mayim shebitzido." There was a mikveh shalem. Mikveh shalem implies 40 saw, and this one is chaser. It doesn't have abayim saw. The word is mikveh. If it would be mikvah, then it would be chaserah and shleimah. The word is mikveh, loshen zocher. So the plural is mikvaos. Okay. You have a lot of times like that. The plural is avav tuf, even though the word is zachar. Leilos. Leilos, loshen zachar. And the plural is leilos. Noshim. Isha is loshen keva. Isha is loshen keva. And nonetheless, the plural is noshim. So you have exceptions to the rule. So the word is mikveh with a segol under the vav. So it's loshen zachar. So he talks about a mikveh chasa and a mikveh sholem. And because they're connected, they have kishvah theres anod. So it's considered one big mikveh. So this mikveh only has 30 saw. The other one has 40 saw. It's one big mikveh. It altogether has 70 saw. How wide does the hole have to be? So the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. You have to have shtei etzbois chozes l'mkaimam. Shtei etzbois are these two fingers, the second finger and the third finger from the thumb. So if you would require just a nekev, that would be so big, so it would be a rectangular nekev, enough room to put the two fingers in. But you need chozes l'mkaimam. You have to be able to turn, so you have to have a hole that should be circular. It's not enough that it's a rectangular shape that these two fingers can fit in. And these two fingers are what? Are the diameter of the circle or the radius of the circle? Which are they? When you say chozes l'mkaimam, so usually it's assumed that's the diameter of the circle. You have to have a circle, not a rectangular shape where these two fingers can fit in. You need a circle that this will be the diameter and you can turn it like that. And others are machmer, know that should be the radius of the circle, so it has to be twice as wide. Okay, so a machmer should be twice as wide. Shai. Taisus over here is bothered with a kasha. How come over here the din is Erev Mikvois Kishvaferis Hanod? To connect two different mikvahs together has to be such a circle. And then there's a Taisus, the beginning, the Taisus Tezvavim and Aleph, Dimra Mascha, Erev Mikvois, Kishvaferis Hanod. So Taisus quotes from Maseches Taris. Yes, Yeshiva Bochi, he doesn't know Mishnah is Taris. He knows Gittin, Sagamor and Gittin of Tezai, in the beginning of the second parak. Quoted, Maisila Beresh Perkshen in the Gittin, the Yeshiva Bachim Nord from Gemara Gittin, Anasik Vakatavis Mashkutafech in Chibur la Lutumu la Tara, of Tvech la Tvech is Chibur. What does it mean, Natsik in Katafris? Natsik is like this. Let's say someone's pouring water, you have a pitcher, you're pouring water, so the water is flying in the air. So the water in the pitcher and the water in the puddle on the ground are connected with each other with the flow of water, that's called Natsik. So the Dinin does a Natsik in Chibur. So let's say you have a situation. Let's say somebody wants to be toivol. Let's say you want to be toivol pots and pans. Or you want to be spoons, forks are flat. So have a little puddle of water on the ground, but you need aboyim saw. So have a little puddle of water on the ground. It's enough to be toivol the fork and the knife in the puddle, but you need aboyim saw. So let's say there's a big body of water higher up on the mountainside. Big body of water has aboyim saw. And it's so, and there's so much water there, a lot of rain came down, so that water from that mikveh is overflowing, and it's falling into this puddle on the ground. But it's flowing like a natsuk. It's not flowing on the side of the mountain, it's falling in the air. So that's the din natsuk in a chibur. Even though there's body of water over here that has 50 saw, and the body of water over here has one saw, hardly any water on the bottom, a little puddle, one saw, so you have 50 saw, and one is 51, should be connected, 51. So the answer is that's not connected. The water is flying in the air. That's not connected. We have it connected, one mikveh next to the other with a wall separating between and a hole. So it says, mamash on the same ground level and the water is not flying in the air. What happens if the water is not flying in the air? Let's say it's on the side of the mountain. So that's called katafris. So katafris is you have an upper mikveh, let's say that has 50 saw, and you have a puddle on the bottom has one saw, let's say so 50 and one is 51 saw, and the water is not falling in the air. It's rolling down the side of the mountain. It's on the ground. All the water is on the ground. If you have a mikveh in the air, you can't be tovel. You have a boim saw in the air, you can't be tovel. Let's say sometimes the big waves come from the ocean. So a big wave of water flies up in the air and it lands on the beach, a few feet away from the lake or the river, whatever it happens to be. So the Gemara says, if I hold the kli up in the air, and the water, aboim sof, washes the kli, that there's no ain't tefila ba'avir. It can't be tovel. The water has to be mechuba lekarka. Water has to be on the ground. So not again a chibur that I understand. If the flow of water that's connecting the mikveh that has 50 saw with the mikveh that the puddle that has one saw is flying in the air, so ain't tefila ba'avir. And you can't say it's one big happy mikveh, 51 saw. The water that's flowing in the air is not a mikveh. It's not agabi karka. But what if it's katafris? What if it's katafris? The water's all rolling down the side of the mountain. So everything is agabi karka. Everything is agabi karka. So that's also no good. That's the Mishnah in Taharis that Tosafos says is quoted at the beginning of the second parak in Gittin. Not only natsuk ain't a chibur, katafris also ain't a chibur. Why not? What's wrong with katafris? Everything is agabi karka. It's not an issue of ain't tvila ba'avir. So that's, if you can call it, that's a machlek, it's a Dibre Chaim and everybody else. So the Dibre Chaim, Rab Chaim Sanza, a prominent Hungarian rabbi, came up with a big chumr that the Hungarians, of course, all follow. And the Chazon Ish says, with all due respect, he doesn't think that he's right. Dibre Chaim has a whole sefer on mikvos, has a lot of original chumrs. So he thinks that the reason why it's no good is that the connection, the chibur between the two mikvahs has to be horizontal. If it's vertical, it's no good. So if you have a mikvah, gabi mikveh, and let's say the bottom mikveh is the kosher mikveh, that's what Lubavitch does. The first Lubavitchi Rebbe wrote his own Shulchan Aruch HaRav. So in the end of Shulchan Aruch Yerideya, he has one page, how to make a mikveh in one easy lesson. He says, how do you make a mikveh in one page? He tells you how to make a mikveh. So he says, you wait till it rains, and make sure you have a boim saw, and then you put a board on the walls of the mikveh with a little hole in the middle, okay? Little hole with this is the radius instead of the diameter, fine. And then you pour in water, you take buckets of water, and you pour in the buckets of water, maim shuvim, on top. So the people will be toivel in the upper mikveh. The upper mikveh is all maim shuvim, but it's connected with the lower mikveh. So that's a hashaka. The upper mikveh is connected with the lower mikveh. So shalom aleichem, you have a hashaka, and the whole mikveh is good, like we do. But we have one mikveh next to the other, Zebitzadze, Echad Bitzad Hasheni. And he has a mikveh gabi mikveh. So Lubavitch there, makbidavke like that, because the Alter Rebbe wrote, that's how to make a mikveh. So they don't want to use a mikveh like everybody else uses, one next to the other. They want to use davke mikveh, bor al gabi bor. The Gemara has in the last perik in Psochim, the Gemara has like that. Another place the Gemara has, out of love for the Rebbe, they cherished every word that the Rebbe said. Hovin ofik me pumi de Rav. Since the Rebbe said like that, so they have a chavivas harav out of chibah for the Rebbe. So they want to be mahadah to do it that way. It's not that it's a more kosher a mikveh, equally kosher. But that was the mashal that the Alter Rebbe gave in the Kuntres Achren. So that's the way they do it. So the Dibre Chaim holds that mikveh is possible. Dibre Chaim holds that the chibah has to be dafke horizontal. And if it's vertical, Zeh Gabi Zeh is no good. That's exactly what it means. Katafris. The Katafris ain't a chibur. If the kosher mikveh with the 50 saws on a higher level in the mountain, and then the extra water is overflowing, so if it's overflowing, it's like Niagara Falls. It's falling in the air. That's Natsuk. Natsuk is not a chibur because the water that's flying in the air is not Agabi Karka, ain't Tvila Ba'avir. So you can only be mechaber the two mikvahs together if the water in between that's connecting them also has the status of a mikveh. If the water connecting is not, it's flying in the air. It's not agabi karka, so it's no good. But katafras, the water in between, is flowing on the ground. So what's wrong with that? So the Dibre Chaim says the reason why it's not good is because the chibur has to be dafke horizontal. If it's vertical, zeh agabi zeh is no good. Nobody else understands it like that. Before the Dibre Chaim, no one understood it like that. Everyone understood because it's zechlim. Because the water is moving. If you have one bor on top of the other, none of the water is moving. Like the Alter Rebbe writes, the bottom bor is stagnant. It stays there for 200 years. They found a Lubavitch and mikveh from 200 years ago. It's still there. The water is still there on the bottom. Still clean water. Because they had this big wooden board on top with the hole in the middle. So the water never got polluted. Never got dirty. So the water is stagnant. So when the water is stagnant, that's what the word mikveh means. Kovah v'kaimi. Kovah v'kaimi means stagnant water. Zochlim is no good. Zochlim is only good if you have a mayon. But if you have a mikveh, by definition, mikveh means, kovah v'kaimi, mikveh means a crack in the ground. The water has to be eshborin. Eshborin means a shever, a crack in the ground. If it's zochlim, so it's a psul derais. If it was rolling, it's no good. So that's what's usually assumed, not like the Dibre Chaim. That's what the Chazon Ish wrote, that we always assume, not like the Dibre Chaim, that the chisorin and katafris is not so much that the connection is vertical as opposed to horizontal. That's lamala v'lamar. The reason why it's no good, because the water is moving. And zechlim doesn't have the same mikvahs. It can't be mechabit, the two mikvahs together. So the Mishnah says, on Natsik v'katafritz, if you have a puddle of water that has one saw, and it's connected, it's connected with another body of water that has 50 saws, so 15-1 adds up to 51 saw. So I said, let it be a good chibur. So the Mishnah says, but if the connection is Natsuk, flying in the air, connection is katafritz, which either means mayim dat zerchlim, it's rolling down the side of the mountain, or katafris means vertical as opposed to horizontal connection, so that's no good. Or, let's say the two mikvos are one next to the other, and the whole chiba is only mashka tofeach. Such a slight, you have a mikvah on one side that has 70 so, mikvah on the other side has 30 so. So 70 or 30 adds up to 100, but they're below the hole. The neck of Hashaka is above the water. So there's no connection? So there's no connection. So the 30 so are not connected with the 70 so. And let's say it just barely makes it. It's a drop of water in the hole. The hole is not all full of water, just a little drop of water. So it's only mashka tefeach that's not good enough. But if you have mashka tefeach hamanos lahatviach, a little more significant amount of water, then the Mishnah implies, and the Mishnah Taharis quoted in Gittin implies, that it would be a chibur, it would be a chibur l'tahara. So how come over here it says it has to be such a big hole? Shtei etzbois chozes from kaimon with the radius of the diameter of the two fingers. Why do you need so much? The Mishnah says there are a little more water than a mashu. Two mashus of water. Tefech hamanos lahatviach. Tefech means that if I touch it, it'll get my finger wet. But if I'll touch with the finger, after I touch the wood, I'll touch my shirt, so it won't. You won't notice. It's not tefech hamanos latviach. And tefech hamanos latviach means I'll dip my finger there and I'll put it on my shirt, so you see it's different color. That this part is wet and the rest is dry. That's called tefech hamanos latviach. A little more water, slightly more water than tefech is mashu. Tefech hamanos latviach is three mashuhus, five mashuhus of water, five drops of water instead of one drop of water. So how can our Mishnah say it's astir in the Mishnah? How can our Mishnah say you need such a big hole? And they made it twice as big. When you say the Shtei Etzbois Chozim Kamen is the radius, not the diameter, they made it twice as big. So that's what we're all machmer like that. I think that's when the Tzemach Tzedek. Tzemach Tzedek was the third Lubavitcher Rebbe. Everybody had an opinion about mikvah. So we make a mikveh in a big city. You have to make a mikveh. The mikveh in New York City supplies the women who come from New Jersey and from Connecticut and from all over New York and from Brooklyn and from Hasidim and Sfardim and Ashkenazim. So the mikveh in a big city has to satisfy all the different opinions. Mikveh in a little village. This is in the Ukraine, and all the people, there's one rabbi in the community, he pour whatever he's paskins, whatever his tradition is, shine, that's it. He doesn't have to make a mikveh with all the hidurim. That should satisfy everybody else's opinion. As long as it satisfies his opinion, it's good enough. A mikveh in a big city is going to be used by Hasidim and Misnagdim and Yekis and Galatiana and Poilusha and Svardim and everybody under the sun. So you have to satisfy all this. It cost $500,000. To satisfy all the opinions, it cost much more money. In Altaheim, you had a little village and made a mikveh. It didn't cost so much. It didn't have to. The people from the other village were not coming here. So that's the problem over here. How come the Mishnah in Mikvah says it has to be a bigger nekev? And the Mishnah in Tara says, as long as it's five mashuhus, it's good. So the Re, the quote the Rabbi Natam gave an answer, and the Re was not happy with the Rabbi Natam's answer. And then the Re explained, but Nira the Re, that's about 10 lines from the bottom. The Taisus Erev Mikvoz has narrow lines, wider lines, and very wide lines. So in the wider lines, the medium-sized lines, the last two lines, but Nira the Re, he gives the teretz between the two Mishnais. So they're talking about two different things. When you're talking about being mechaber together, two different mikvahs, and instead of being a mikvah of one saw and 50 saw, it's one big mikvah of 51 saw. Here you have 70, here you have 30. So it's one big mikvah. Chibur mikvahs, you have to have a big hole. So the big hole has to be shtetz, boiz, chosis, and kaiman, a wide hole. That's a lot of water that it's considered one big mikvah. That Mishnah in Taurus is not talking about chibur mikvahs. To consider the two mikvahs as one mikvah. No, the Mishnah there is talking about you have water that's tomei. And water that's tomei, there are four things that are mekabel tumah, four categories of things that are mekabel tumah, the whole wide world. Od mekelim ochel mamashkim, a mekabel tumah. Od mekelim have tar b'mikvah, ochel mamashkim have no tar b'mikvah. With the one exception of mayim, mayim can become tohor. So whenever the Gemara says mayim can become tohor, Rashi will always give you this whole dissertation. Rashi writes 2-3 words. He couldn't afford whatever. And Rashi always writes 2-3 words. Doesn't give you a whole paragraph. So Rashi always gives you this dissertation. And don't think that Maim that's Tomei has Tara b'mikvah. No, it's a din of Zriya. The Pasuk Zriya usually means if you plant a tree in the ground, you plant potatoes, you plant You plant vegetables, you plant fruits or vegetables in the ground, is Zriya. So there's a pasuk, Zareya Mayim al Pnei Chutzas. When you have water sitting on the earth, that's called Zriya. So if I have a potato that's Tomei, and Adam Tomei touched the potato that was rinsed off from before, it was Hukshala Kabatuma, Adam Tomei touched it, it becomes Tomei. When you plant a potato and it takes root in the ground, so whatever is attached to the ground can't be Tomei. So even if it already was Tomei from before, once you plant it in the ground, the tumor disappears and it becomes tar. So if you have mayim, that's tamei, and you plant it in the ground, then it becomes tar. How do you plant mayim in the ground? You can't plant mayim in the ground. It's not a fruit or a vegetable. So the pasuk says, Areya mayim. If I take water that's tamei and I add it onto a mikveh, that's a considered apidin attached to the ground. That's why there's no tefillah ba'avir. If the big wave flies out from the ocean, and I'm holding a knife over here, and the wave covers the whole knife, the Gemara says, ain't tefillah ba'avir. That's the Gemara Chagiga in the second paragraph. There's no tefillah ba'avir. A mikveh has to be al gabi karka. So the so the halacha says when you have mayim that are tomei. Have no tefillah b'mikveh, but the mayim can be considered zruim. How can it be zruim? If you have a mikveh that consists of aboim so, let's say, you have a mikveh of aboim so sitting on the ground, and then I take the mayim tmeim in a bottle, and I take off the cap to the bottle, and I have a little amashahu of the mayim in the bottle is connected, touching the water from the mikveh, so that's considered hashoker. And all the water in the bottle becomes tar. The tumor disappears. That's called Zriya. It's connected. So the Ri explains these are two different topics. A person wants to be toivel in a mikveh, and the requirement is the shirach hachamim, inira boim so, the mikveh has to have boim so. So if one mikveh has 30, and one mikveh has 30, and there's a neck of hashok, a big neck of in between, is considered one big mikveh with 60. So that's chibah mikvah, to be mechab everything together, to be considered one big mikveh, you need a big nekev. But if you're not talking about to be matzarif two different bodies of water, neither of which has aboim so, one of them has aboim so, one of them doesn't have aboim so. You're not talking about combining two together to make it into one big happy mikveh. You're talking about there's a mikveh, and I want to consider it as if the water that was already nitma is now zarua, is planted in a body of water that's sitting on the ground. So that, as long as you have tafer hamanas lahatviach, connecting the two, that's okay. Let's say if I have water that's tummy in a pitcher, and I'm pouring from the pitcher into the mikveh, so there's a connection, notzok, so the din is notzok and a chibur. I'm not going to say that the water in the pitcher is tahor, because it's connected with the water. No, the water in the the water in the pitcher is not bechuber to the, it's not zaruah v'karka. Or even if there's an upper body of water on a higher plateau, and there's water rolling down the side of the mountain, and connecting with the lower body of water, so that's not, also not, mitahir. That's not considered zaruah. And if you have two bodies of water, one next to the other, with a mashu of water connecting between the two, it's also not called zaruah. Has to be tafer hamanas latvich, have to have a little bit more. Once you have tafer hamanas latvich, is the chibur, so then it's okay. Then it's a chibur, so it's considered zarua. But it's still not considered one big mikveh. If there's an issue that one of the mikvehs is chaser, so for that, to solve that problem, that's our Gemara, that's our Mishnah. You have to have the Mishnah calls it iriv mikvah, it means to blend the two in together, that it should be considered one big mikveh. So this was a machlekes bisham and bisil. So bisil were makel. To be mechaber two mikvahs together is enough with this nekev ha-hashoke kishvaferes ha-node. They had a node, they had a canteen, and the opening of the canteen was the shvaferes ha-node, and that was in the days of the Tanoim. That was the size, either be able to put in two fingers as a diameter, that's my guess would be, it was a diameter, and then the tzamach tzedek was machmano, two fingers is the radius, has to be twice as big. It's a pretty big opening for a canteen. Usually canteen doesn't have such a big opening. The water's going to spill all over your face. Okay. So the Tzemach Tzedek made his canteens were twice as, the opening was twice as wide as everybody else's canteen. So it says in the Mishnah that if you have one body of water next to the other and a wall in between, like we have in all of our mikvahs, and you have a neck of hashok in between, So we pass like Basila, that's good enough. And by Shammai, you're of the opinion that's not good enough. You have to have Poritz Meruba Alohamid. You have a wall. There's a body of water to the right of the wall and to the left of the wall. Let's say to the right of the wall you have 100 saw. To the left of the wall you only have 30 saw. And you want to make it into one big mikveh, so you have to have a big nekev hashok. So you have this big nekev, so Basila says it's good enough. Shammai says it's still not good enough. You have to knock down the roiv of the wall. The whole wall that's above the level of the water, that's Lamala Lamar, means that part of the wall, a long wall that separates in between the body of water on the left and body of water on the right. So you have to have rove of the wall should be knocked down. So the rove of the wall is knocked down. When rove of the wall is knocked down, so Ruba Kukuloi, so it's one big body of water. Yeah, it's also good. There was one opinion. Taisus ends off, Ein l'harachkan. They're not going to go. It's big enough to Taisus. They're not going to make it longer. So they have in the other places where they talk about the topic, so there was one suggestion like that. That if one mikveh has 40 saw and the other one has less than 40 saw, then you can have a smaller connecting hole. But if neither has 40 saw and you want to create a mikveh, yesh me'ay, not just to say that this is a branch of an already existing mikveh, want to create a mikveh, so then you need a bigger chibur. That was one suggestion. But our Taisus doesn't raise that possibility. There's one possibility that Taisus raised. Because there are stiras all over the place. How much water you need to combine the two. So Beis Shammai were of the opinion that it has to be achi tifoch es buru. We have to have ruba kukuloi knocked down. We have such a thing when you make an erev around an area. When you make mechitzas around an area. So if the area is enclosed with mechitzas on every side, so it's considered a rishus hayochid. So what if you're missing a little bit of the mechitza? So the din is, if it's oimed merubah laporetz, if roiv of each ruach, let's say it's a rectangular shape area, so each bar of the rectangle you judge individually, if ruba kukula on this side has a mechitza 10 tefachim tall, that's a mechitza. If this side has ruba kukula, mechitza is good. Each side ruba kukula. So here, there's such a similar thing within Beis Shammai. If you have two different bairas, this bar has, let's say, 50 saw, this bar has 30 saw, you want to combine the two to be considered one big mikveh of 80 saw, so you have to knock down ruba kukula, you have to knock down roiv of the wall that separates in between. It's not enough just to make a nekev hashok, a big circular hole. You have to have more than that. So the story is related, Maisa Masiv Rab Marzutra, where does this come from? A Tosefta or something? A Mishnah Mikvos. Oh. Maisa Bishokas Yehu, the man's name was Yehu, Shasi Bishalim, located in the city of Bishalim. And this mikveh everybody used. Bisham Bisal, everybody used to use this mikveh. And it didn't have four saw, but it was connected to another through a hole. It was connected to another body of water that did have 40 saw. So according to the Bishamah, that's not enough. You have to have Ashutifachis Ruboy. So they sent one of their men, and he didn't come with long payas and a big yarmulke. He came dressed up like someone from the sanitation department. So he made the hole bigger. So it wasn't obvious. They didn't send Mashgichim and Rabbanim have a bezin there. So it wasn't obvious to anybody that it was done for religious purposes. They thought that the city sent sanitation people, water people, to make the hole bigger. So the Gemara says, okay. Awesome. What does the Gemara say? They thought the sanitation department did it for non-religious purposes. So that solves the third issue. We said there are three issues that the sugya is weaving together, whether osa b'sham k'dereim, losa b'sham k'dereim. So the third issue is the issue of loisus gadudu losas agudus agudus. Whenever it's not noticeable, so then there's no violation of loisus gadudu. So the Gemara had it, and you get to not doing malacha on Thanksgiving, or not doing malacha on Erev Pesach, just because half of the people on the doctor malacha, they want to take off a day, because it doesn't necessarily mean it's for religious purposes. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's a machloikis, the damilish de teres, and the same over here. If half the people wearing tefillin, half the people not wearing tefillin, that's a religious issue. That's nasis turkish de teres. There is such a Gemara in Beitza, Tosis refers to it. The Gemara in Beitza says that on one occasion, Hillel lived 100 years before the Churban Abayis. So Hillel came into the Beis HaMikdosh, and that day, the roiv of the people in the Azara were Beis Shammai Nikis. And and Beishamayar Emazan Yontif, because Yontif wasn't Chalamoid. And Beishamay are of the opinion that you're not allowed to bring Oilos Ria on Yontif, you're only allowed to bring Shamay Chagiga. An Oila has to be Davke a Zohar. A Shlomin could be a Zohar or an Akeva. So Hillel came in person, he was the chief rabbi, his group was the majority, and he brought an Oilos Ria on Yontif, he was going to be Makrivit. So then the Talmid Beishamay came, had the chutzpah, he came to Hillel and he said, Rabbi, you bringing a carbon Oila or carbon Shlomin? So he wagged the tail of the animal that they shouldn't be able to look on the bottom. You can tell whether it's a Zohar Nekeva. A farmer, I can't tell. You ask a farmer if this animal is Zohar Nekeva, he'll tell you. It's a dead giveaway. So Hillel said, it's a Nekeva and it's a Shlomin. He was telling them a lie. It was really, and when they did the Shechita, he whispered to the guy, bring it to L'shem Shlomin, and be Zorikid as a Shlomin, not be Zorikid as an Oilam. So the Gemara says, because it wasn't noticeable, it wasn't conspicuous, he was acting as if it's a shlomim, even though he's really an oilus. So if it's not noticeable, haroi aimer, then there's no issue of loisis gaidudu. In the middle of Tezvav and Manalf, last week on Thursday, we discussed the case of Rabbi Akiva. One of the many disputes, Bisham and Bisil, is one is Rosh Hashanah le'ilonis. If you have fruits that grow on a tree, so you have to determine, did the fruits grow in the first year of the Shemitah cycle, or the second year, or the third year? Whatever fruits grew in the second year, I have to be mafresh maisa sheni. Whatever grew in the third year, instead of maisa sheni, mafresh maisa oni. Or even if the fruits grew in the first year and the second year, exactly the same afroshes, but the din is you're not allowed to be mafresh mishon al chavato. Because the pasuk says, in Parshas Rei, Aser Te'aseh Kol Tzva Zarecha, Yotze Asod Deshona Shona. Every year you have to do a separate hafrosh. You can't be mafresh Mishana Bishana Al Shana Shniyah, Mishana Shniyah Al Shana Mishana, even though it's exactly the same hafroshes. Through Magdala, Maisavish, Maisasheni, Mishana Al Chavata, you can't be mafresh. So the question is, when is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilana? So that's a machlek. So we say Tu Bishvat, that's Beis Hillel's opinion. The Bishama, you have the opinion, it's Echel Bishvat. Machlek. So the Gemara says, Rebbe Kiva had some peris, an esrik tree is unique. The Gemara has on the first daf in Kiddushin, an esrik tree go basa lakita, because dina ki yerek. All other trees you go basa chanata to determine which year it belongs to. An esrik tree is different because it grows slightly differently from all the other trees, so it goes basa lakita. Rabbi Akiva, and then we said on Thursday, it's a machlek, it's the Taisus in the Ritvon, the first parak in Rosh Hashanah, what I mean, basa lakita. So the Ritvon says literally lakita, when you detach it from the ground. And the Taisus says, no, when it's gemar ha'abishon, when it's fully ripened, and it's right to do the lakita. If you just wait another month, and nothing grew in between, so the lakita was a month ago, not now. So Maiseh, Rabbi Akiva shalikit, Esrog, he did the lakita, when it was ready, he did lakita, and lakita was, in between Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Echad Bishvat, and Tu Bishvat. So he followed the chumras of Beishamah and Beisil. So the Gemara thought, also Beishamah ki divrayim, and he's machma like Beishamah and like Beisil at the same time. So that's what the Gemara thought that he did. So you have a right that also Beishamah ki divrayim. Beishamah followed their own shita to assume that the Echad Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Echad Bishvat, is Rosh Hashanah li'ilonis. The Gemara says, no, not that also Beishamah ki divrayim. Rabbi Kiva, Gemara is topic like his. He wasn't sure what the tradition was. Gemara means his tradition, his masorah. He knew he had a tradition. There's a machleged b'sham misil. When is Rosh Hashanah Leilonis? Is it Rosh Chodesh Shvat or Tu Bishvat? And he didn't remember which way was Beisilah's opinion. Say. And he knew the din is like Beisilah, but he wasn't sure what did the Beisilah say. So he was noyig. He was mafish both. It was a second year going into the third year. So he was mafish both Maaser Sheni and Maaser Oni. So Taisus points out, Taisus quotes in Yerushalmi, Nogba Shnei Yisurim, the little Taisus. That same Taisus appears in Maseches Rosh Hashanah as well. On this daf. So it says, you don't have to be mafresh two different things. What do you mean? He took off 2% from Megdala, then he took off 10% from Maserishan, then he took off 9% from Maserishan, another 9% from Maserani. So the Yerushalmi says, no. In the first 2 years, he mafresh Maserishani. And what do you do with the Maaser Sheni? You bring it to Yerushalayim and you eat it. Or you pay it in and take the money and bring the money to Yerushalayim and buy Masat HaKes, Ba'Bokar, Ba'Zana, Ba'Yayin, Ba'Shecha. The third year and the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, Instead of being mafish maisa sheni, mafish maisa oni. So what do you mean? He said, Hareza maisa sheni. What? It has a different name, maisa oni. It's maisa sheni. Maisa sheni, the first 3 years, is mitzvasa lahavi lirushalayim, or livdois. Maisa sheni, the third year, and the sixth year, is mitzvasa lehecholik lanim. It's the same maisa. Not that he had to do hafrashet from Gedolah, maisa rishi, maisa sheni, and maisa oni. No, he said, Hareza maisa sheni. And that maisa sheni, the 9% that he designated in the maisa sheni, so he treated it lechumra as both maisa sheni and as maisa rani. So what did he do? So he was poided in order to be able to eat at chutz Yerushalayim bituma. Maisa sheni is supposed to bring to Yerushalayim and eat at the bigdusha v'tahara. So first thing he did was he was poided in order to be allowed to eat at chutz Yerushalayim. And then he was mechalak et lani. Maybe it belongs to the third year. Maybe echad b'shvat is the Rosh Hashanah le'ilonis, and the pair is with nilka to in between Rosh Chodesh Shvat and Tu B'Shvat. So because of the possibility that maybe he had the din of Perish on Shlishis, so he was Mechalik et Lanim. The Pashtus is like the Yerushalmi. It didn't have to be Mafrish 9% for Maisa Sheni, another 9% for Maisa Rani. The same Maisa Sheni, on the third year, the Maisa Sheni is Maisa Rani. It is Maisa Rani. So that's what the Gemara keeps on quoting, more cases and more cases to discuss whether Osa B'Shamiki Devrayim, and they're going to mix together all the different possibilities of whether Osa B'Shamiki Devrayim, did they observe on their own like that? Did they paskin for others like that? And did they follow their opinion even when they're together in the same base medish? How do you deal with the issue of Loisis Gaudinu? So the Gemara tells another story on the top, okay, top of Tezvav on the base. Machlekes b'shami b'sil and taris at the b'sil la mekel, and with the b'sil la machmir. That's where Rashi pointed out. Usually in taris the b'sil la the machmirim, and the b'shami are the mekilim. See, it was a case where the b'sil were machmirim. Then the Gemara has, in the middle of the Amud, around the 20 lines from the top, Toshma. They finally quote, what is this? Probably a Tosefta. What are all these letters here? Toshma. Oh, it says it's a Tosefta, yeah. Toshma. Sholos Rabbi Shua, Tzaras Abbas Mahu, Om Lehem Machlekes B'Sham Bistul, and Tezvav Amid Beis. Then they ask him, Halach G'dire, me, Om Lehem, I don't want to get involved. Mepnei Ma Atem Achnis Meroshim, Min Shnei Harim Gdol, Min Shnei Machlek Zdol, Min Shami Bistul, Misiori, Ani Am Afed, Shema Yerutzu Gugalti. I don't want to take a stand on a Machlek B'Sham Bistul, Aval Ani Meid Lehem, but I'll tell you about the Bnei Hatzoris. The Gemara is going to explain. They asked Rabbi Shua the Tana two questions. He asked them, what's the din of Tzoris Abbas? Is it Misyabemis like Beishamai say? Or is it Meteris Leonos El Ashuk, Bli Chalitza, Bli Yibum like the Beisilo? So he said, it's Machlegit B'Sham Beisilo, I don't want to get involved. But then they asked him, all right, second step. On the assumption that the din is like Beisilo, that Tzoris Abbas, Meteris Leonos El Ashuk, what would Beishamai say about the children? What are they asking? He said, on the assumption that the din is like Beis Hillel, so what would Beis Shammai say about the children? What's enough meaning? If you assume the din is like Beis Hillel, that Tzoris Abbas is Moteris Lihinasi Lashuk, Bali Chalitza, Bali Yibum, so the mind of Keminat that they're asking, what's the din of Bnei Hatzoris Le Beis Shammai? So the Gemara explains, because Alibid Beis Hillel, we don't pass like Beis Shammai. Alibid Beis Hillel, we have such a similar, not identical, we have such a similar shal. What's the din? A man divorced his wife, and the wife married someone else, and the second husband either divorced her or died, and now the first husband wants to remarry her. So that's not permissible. That's Masa Grushasai. He's not allowed to. What's it? Then he goes ahead and he does marry her. So the world doesn't come to an end. He's doing another. He's not Chayv Kors. The children are not Mamzer. He wasn't allowed to do it. So the Gemara has a suffix, Alibid the Halacha and Beis Hillel. Everybody agrees. Everybody's asking, there's a din of Masa Grushasai. They wanted to know, what's the din of the daughters? Are the daughters pogum lekuhuna or not? If a man divorced his wife and she married someone else and he divorced or he died, and the first husband remarries her in violation of the din in the Torah, machzik grushasai. Rashi puts in Mishanisis. What did Rashi have to say? Mishanisis was a machlekes Rabbi Yosi ben Kippur in the Chachamim earlier in the Masechta. Here, Rashi writes.
Not that he just lives in the garbage,
If a man divorces his wife and remarries her, that's perfectly okay. He should have said Mishnes Katsha. All right, it's normal to write Mishnes. Rashi's not taking a stand like the Tana Rabbi Yosi ben Kippur. Rashi attests this, and a lot of times they Masa Gishas Mishnes. Lav Dafke Mishnes. It means Mishnes Katsha. The Rashi is Dima Maska on Tezvavim based. Dima Maska on the Mifshad Vlad Machzor Gishasai Mishnes Lacher Vehechazir. So we with Paskin, it doesn't have to be Nisus Lacher. If Nis Katsha Lacher. We don't pass on like that Tana Rabbi Yosi ben Kippur. Fine, the Rashi is Lav Dafke. So the Shaila is, Machzik Rishos, everybody agrees is not allowed to. So does that, are the children Mamzerim? Are the children Mamzerim? The children are not Mamzerim. That's for sure, the children are not Mamzerim. According to the Tana, they're asking Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua happens to be the Tana who thinks that even Chavi Krisis don't make Mamzerim, only Chavi Mrs. Bezin. He's still leading. We don't follow him, we follow Shimon Atemani. In the Mishnah and Daf Mem test, and whenever one is Baal, Chavi Krisis, so the Vlad is a Mamzer. Rabbi Kiva is the biggest Machmer. Rabbi Kiva says, Vlad from Chavi Laban is Mamzer. We don't follow the Chumras of Rabbi Kiva. We don't follow the Kulas of Rabbi Yeshua. He says only Chavi Mises, the Vlad is a Mamzer. We follow Shimon HaTimni, Shimon HaTimni, whatever his name is, that whenever it's Chavi Krisis, the Vlad is Mamzer. Here the child is not going to be a Mamzer. It's only a, it's an Issa. That's an isalav. Machzor gushas liuchabali rishon shishu loshav lekachta achrei asher tamot. It's an isalav. Then a machzor gushas says he's not allowed to remarry his wife. So the children are not going to be mamzerim. Maybe Rabbi Kiva will say the oh mamzerim. We don't follow Rabbi Kiva. We're not going to worry about that. But the Gemara just had a shaila whether the vlad is pogum. What do you mean pogum lekahuna? What do you mean pogum lekahuna? A kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha, a zayna, or a halala. So maybe this girl is Peguma Lekuhuna. Why should she be Peguma Lekuhuna? Gemara says we should make a Kalvachaymer. Kalvachaymer from Almana Lekuhin Gadol. An Almana is allowed to marry a Kohen Hedyot. She's allowed to marry a Yisrael, a Levi, a Kohen Levi Yisrael. She just can't marry a Kohen Gadol. Very restricted. Yisr. Lav Shein Hashavah Vakol. So the Gemara says, Ma Almana Lekuhin Gadol. It's only an Isra Almana to a Kain Gadol. The every other Kain Levi Yisrael is Mut, only Kain Gadol is us. Nonetheless, Beno Pogum, if she has children from the Kain Gadol, they're going to be all Chalolim. If she has sons, they'll be Chalolim. And if she has daughters, they'll be Chalolos. If the sons are Chalolim, it means that they're emptied out from Kedushas Kuna, that they're allowed to be Mentamei L'Meisim, they don't get the first Aliyah, they can't be Makru Kabbonis, they can't do Pidyon HaBen, they can't eat Truma. Cholol means empty. Empty vacuum, empty space. And if she has daughters from the Kohen Gadol, so all the daughters will be Chalolos, and the Chalol is not allowed to marry a Kohen. So you see that Almana L'Kohen Gadol is a light Yisr. Ein HaShove Baka, Ein Yisr Noeg Baka, only Kohen Gadol. She's allowed to marry anybody else, Kohen Levi Yisrael. But because she's not allowed to marry the Kohen Gadol, she has children, so the bonim are pegumim, the sons and the daughters are all pegumim, zu. By machzor grushasa, she's sir noeg bakol, Kohen Levi Yisrael. No one's allowed to be machzor grushasa. That's a law for all the Jews. For goyim, there is no such din, but for Jews, there's such a din. So shouldn't it be a kal v'chaymer that the children should be halal? So the Gemara, okay, it's a nice Kal V'chaymer. So what's the issue? So the Gemara says, Ikal HaMifrach, the last two lines on Tezvav HaMebeis, there's a Pircha. If it's such a good Kal V'chaymer, so it should lead us to declare also that not only the children are Halolim, the woman should also be considered a Halola. Let's say an Almana is allowed to marry a Kohen Hedyot. She is not allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol. Let's say the Almana goes ahead and marries the Kohen Gadol and they live together. So when they live together, she becomes now a halala. So once she becomes a halala and her husband dies, if the Kohen Gadol gives her a get, she just became a grusha. So grusha can't marry a kohen. If the husband, the Kohen Gadol, does not give her a get, he just dies a natural death. So she becomes an almana a second time. So an almana is allowed to marry Kohen Hedyot. But because this almana was living with a Kohen Gadol, that was be'isa, so she became a halala. The pasuk says a Kohen Gadol should not marry a halola, but lo yichalel zaro b'yamov. So the Gemara raises the question: why does it say lo yichalel with a double lamed? Lechalel means to empty out the kedushas kuna. Why does it say lo yichalel zaro b'yamov? it should say lo yachel zara biyamav. So the Gemara says the double lamed in the word lechalel has a double connotation, that the kohen gadol who marries the almana will cause lechalel zara, the children will become chalolim, sons and the daughters will become chalolim, sons and the daughters won't be allowed to eat truma because they're not kohanim anymore, and the sons can't do pigyon haben and so on, and the daughters can't marry a kohen because they're, and also the woman becomes a chalala. The almana, who would until now was allowed to marry kohen hedyot, now she marries the kohen gadol. So if the kohen gadol divorces her, she just became a grusha. He doesn't divorce her, he'll die, Rashi says. So she's twice an almana. Almana from the first husband, and then she married the kohen gadol, and he died. She became an almana a second time. So almana, two-time almana, is also allowed to marry a kohen hedyot. But over here, not. Because since she married a kohen gadol, be iser, so she becomes a halola. So that's learned out from the double lamed, lo yichalel zara biyamov. No, whoever divorces her, so she becomes a grusha.
Ah.
So a grusha is not allowed to marry a kohen. So we'd rather bump him off. So we poison him, and the kohen gadol dies. So she became an almana. She was an almana the first time when he married her. So now she's a double almana. Almana from husband number one. Now she's almana from the kohen gadol, husband number two. So twice almana would have been mutter. But because the kohen gadol was living with her, he was bo'ala ha-bi'isr. So the pasuk says, when he's bo'ala, lo yichalol zara bi'amov. He causes chalolus on the children, zaro, and he also causes chalolus on the wife. So the Gemara's whole diyun, maybe there's a kavachayim, but that's only been again to the children. What would be the din, machzeh grushasai, whether the children become pegumim lekuhuna? Whether if she has a daughter, is the daughter going to be pegumim lekuhuna? Let's say, what do you mean machzeh grushasai? If a kohen is married to a woman and he divorces her, she marries someone else and he dies and he divorces her, then the kohen remarries her, she's a grusha. A kohen who remarries machzeh grushasai is a grusha. So of course, if the kohen marries his grusha and they have children, of course they're going to be chalolim. There's no shayla about it. We talk machzeh grushasai, not a kohen, a lady or a Yisrael who is married to a woman, the heter. The husband gave her a get, she married someone else. The second husband either died or gave her a get, and then the first husband wants to remarry her. The first husband is a Yisrael or a lady. He's not a kohen, so there's no problem marrying a grusha. But the problem is machzeh grushasai. So the Gemara had a suffix. This for sure, he doesn't make her into a halala. That's out of the question. Halala, that a woman at the age of 25 or 55 should become a halala, that's only me yisuri kuhuna. If a kohen lives with a grusha, or a kohen gadol lives with an almana, he makes her a halala, that's only from yisuri kuhuna. The whole suffix the Mara was, but there are two brands of halala, two kinds of halalas. One is aide leida, one is aide biya. So chalala is ayidei biya, that a woman who until now, at the age of 25, till now she was not a chalala, in midlife she becomes a chalala, that's only from Yisuri Kuhuna. If the kain is bo'ala grusha, or the kain gadol is bo'ala ala an almana, so then he makes her a chalala. So that we know, when the person is machzik grusha, so his wife doesn't become a chalala. Or if you're going to have a yivam al ashuk, Basila say that Tzoras Abbas may remarry. Bishami say they're not allowed to. The Tzoras Abbas is supposed to have either Yibam or Chalitza. So they went ahead and they remarried. Basila won the fight. They wrote the Mishnais and they totally ignored Bishami. They wrote Chamesh Esri Noshin and they're assuming that there's a din of Tzoras Abbas. That Tzoras Abbas ain't a Chalitza, ain't a Misyabemis. So the Tzoras Abbas is going to marry. According to Bishami, she wasn't allowed to marry. So the Gemara has the Shaila. What would Bishami say about the children? The Tzoras Abbas calls man that she's living with the other husband, she never got chalitza, so the Beis Shammai claims she's living in sin. She's in violation of the law, she's not allowed to marry anybody without first getting chalitza. But we don't pass for like Beis Shammai, okay? So the Shaila is, what would Beis Shammai say about the children of a Tzoras Abbas? In other words, Yivam al-Ashuk goes and marries, and she was supposed to have chalitza, she never had chalitza. Will the daughters be pogum lakuna? Will the daughters be pegumim lekuna? So that's exactly the same shaila of a machzeh grushasai. Will the daughters be pegumim lekuhuna or not? So that's because that's what Taisa explains. There are two brands of halala. There's halala ayde leida, then there's halala ayde biya. So halala ayde biya, in midlife, a woman is labeled as a halala. So that we know from Sukkim. That's only en halala selam yisuri kuhuna. If a kohen lives with a grusha, kohen gadol lives with an almana, then he makes her into a halala. So that's only Misuri Kuhuna. If the woman violates Yivam Alashuk, or the woman violates Machzor Gushasa, that doesn't make her into a halala. The only suffix we had was, would the children be considered the halala? Maybe there's a kavachaymer. If it's halala, say they later, you're born as a halala, so maybe it should be a kavachaymer. Ma'adachi, an amara lekangal, any suru shav bakol, such a restricted, such a limited iser. Nonetheless, the children become halalim, so maybe it should be a kavachaymer that by any case of chayvi lavin, all the children should become halal. That was the shaila in the Gemara. So the Gemara pilpils it back and forth. So what did he answer? He answers that there's no problem. He says, it's a machlegis beshamim b'sul, whether Tzaras Abbas needs chalitza or not, whether misyabem is or not. And that, I don't want to take a stand, but I just want to tell you, I'm going to testify that there were Yivamis who followed b'sul's opinion, that Tzaras Abbas would marry Lashuk, and they wouldn't have any chalitza, and their children later on married Kohanim Gedolim, and there's no problem. Everybody's maskim that the daughters are not chalolas. That's how the Gemara says. The Gemara tells the story. One time in history, they heard that the famous Tanam Dosim Ben Hurkin is paskin like the Bishamah. So they didn't know what to do. Dosim Ben Hurkin was a prominent Tana. So he was a Sagi Nohar. He lost his eyesight. He stopped coming to the Beis HaMedrash for many years, and he really wasn't in touch with what's going on. So he didn't see what's happening. So the Rabbanim came to visit him, and they wanted to discuss the issue. How is he paskening like the Beis Shammai? So a delegation came. So Rabbi Shua came first. So who is the next one? Lozim and Azariah. The third one is Rabbi Akiva. So the maid, they came, knocked on the door. Ondo Apischoi, Apes Beiso. The Shivcha came, she tells Rabbi Dosa Ben Hurkanis, the rabbis came to visit you. So he says, okay, let them come. So he's blind, so he grabs hold of Rabbi Shua and says, please sit down over here. Has him sit down on a golden seat. Then Rabbi Shua says, Rabbi Dosa Ben Hurkanis didn't realize there were another two rabbis there. He couldn't see. So he says, please give permission to another Talmud to sit. So he says, oh, I apologize. Who's the other Talmud? Says, Rabbi Lozim ben Azariah. Ooh, who's Rabbi Lozim ben Azariah? I mean, my buddy Azariah. He didn't know Rabbi Lozim ben Azariah was the son of his friend Azariah. He said, oh, now he comes to Kanti Vilar, he says, Hariknez, Azariah Mavak Shishlochem, that's wonderful. The Baruch Shalom gave a son, a Talmud Chochem, to my friend, my dear friend Azariah, Rabbi Lozim ben Azariah, please have him sit down also. Then they asked, please give permission to the third rabbi to sit down. He said, who's the third rabbi? He said, Rabbi Akiva. Oh, Rabbi Akiva, I heard about him. Rabbi Akiva, Shimcha Olam, Sefer Olam, please sit down. Buddy, buddy, happy, happy. Then they start talking, learning. Then they raise the issue of Tzaras Abbas. He says, an alta machlek is Bisham and Bisil. What's an old story? He's an old man, apparently. Must be in his 80s already. Then they say, what's the din? He says, what do you mean, what's the din? We all know the din is like the Bisil. I bet they say in your name that the din is like Bisham. And my name? No. What did they say? Abdoisa Ben Hurkan? So they said Ben Hurkan. I said, yeah, they didn't say Abdoisa. I said, what can I do? I have a brother. My brother's a devil. He's a mischievous character. He's from the Beis Shammai Nikkis, and he's paskening to the public that the din is like Beis Shammai. So go, put him in his place, but be careful because he's a sharpie and he can draw circles around you. So the Gemara says that all the three Tanoim went to visit the younger brother Yonison Ben what's his name? There's a Hurkanis. Yonison Ben Hurkanis, right? And Rabbi Dosa Ben Hurkanis says he has a tradition from Chagai Hanavi. From Chagai Hanavi. What does he have a tradition on three different things? What are the three here? The first white line. No. The second white line. Al Meducha Zu Yoshev Chagai Hanavi. Rabbi Dosa Ben Hurkanis, the blind rabbi, the elder statesman over here, he says, Chagai Hanavi. That's from the beginning of the Shat Beish. By Sheni period, that was a few hundred years before. I have a tradition from all the way back, hundreds of years of Chag Hanafi, gave three psokim. Number one, halachik ebeis hillel. That's Tzaras Abbas Muteris. The issue came, the shaila didn't come up in the days of Shammai and Hillel. It was the shaila in the Bais Rishon period. Chag Hanafi said that's the din. He didn't say benevui, he said that's the halachic tradition. Tzaras Abbas What do you say? Tzaras Abbas, Asura, what Asura? Asura lehisyabim. She's Muteris Lashuk, Asura lehisyabim. It didn't like Beis Hillel. And then he says, number two, Amen Amaya, Maish Masarani Bishvias. Number three, Mekabin Germin Akaduim. What's Amen Amaya, Maish Masarani Bishvias? What is that all about? So the Gemara has a few lines later. Habi Krachim Kovsha, Ala Mitzarim, Ala Kovsha, Ala Bofa, Ala Kedusha, Rishani Kitcha, Ala Shaita, Ala Kitcha, Ala Sid Lava, Vihi Nichum, Kadesh Yismuchu Aleim Aniim Bishvias. There's certain locations in Eretz Yisrael, so it could be that it's not relevant for Amen Amaya. That's the long Tosis. Could be that this whole story is not relevant, but that's the way the Gemara presents it. That Eretz Yisrael was given as a gift to Avraham Avinu a long time before Kibush Yoshua as Haaretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, "Whom his halach baris l'orka l'rachba kiluchu etinena." He walked around Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says he acquired ownership of all of Eretz Yisrael. That was a kinyan chazaka. That was once in the history of the world, when you walk around the borders, you kind of, that's kinyan chazaka. And the Jews never lost their ownership of Eretz Yisrael since the days of Avraham Avinu. But it didn't yet get Kedusha Saaretz. So the Kedusha Rishayna was not in the days of Avraham Avinu, but rather in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun. And what created the Kedusha? So the Gemara says the Kibush. And the Gemara Kibush, it says in Sefer Yeshua, it says that it took 7 years to complete the Kibush. Then the Gemara says, in the end of Erechim, we have an oral tradition that it took 7 years to complete the Chalukah Sa'aretz. So Chalukah was the Gemar HaKibush. So after the Kibush was completed, all of Eretz Yisrael was Niskadosh B'Kedusha B'Shayna. That's how Tosfos says later in Yevamos. This appears later in Yevamos also. So Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Hananel, says Pshat, Kedusha B'Shayna means, Kedusha B'Shayna means, in the days of Avraham Avinu, so Tosfos disagrees, says, in the days of Avraham Avinu, there was no Kedusha Sa'aretz. Where's that Tosfos? Paid base, Omid base. Here, the top line in Tosfos, paid base, Omid base. Pirusha Berchanan, Kedusha Vishayna, was in the days of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. And Kedusha Shnei, in the days of Yeshua Benu. So Tosfos says it doesn't fit in, Lo Yitochin Lefarshken, just doesn't fit into anything more. It's not true. Avraham Avinu acquired ownership of Eretz Yisrael, but it didn't have Kiddusha till the days of Yeshua ben Nun. The Kiddusha of Yishanim is Ayadei Kibush v'chiluk. That took 14 years, 7 years of Kibush, and 7 years of Chalukah. And then there's a question whether the Kiddusha of Yishanim became Nizbatla, Kiddusha Sa'aretz became Batla at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon or not. So there are Tanaim who think Kiddusha of Yishanim Kitcha Lasi Lavai. It had a Kiddusha and it never left. The Kiddusha that was accomplished by Yeshua ben Nun was an everlasting Kedusha. So we don't accept that opinion. We pass in La Halacha, the Kedusha Rishayna was Batla at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon. So then when Ezra came back, Ezra had to be Mekadosh all of Eretz Yisrael a second time around. Ezra didn't do any Kibush. Ezra didn't, they were under the Shilton of the Goyish government until the days of the Hashmonai. That was deep into the Tkufas Bayis Sheni. So what was the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael the second time around? It wasn't, obviously it wasn't Kibush V'chiluk. So the Rambam writes, it wasn't Kibush V'chiluk, it was Chazaka. The Jews moved in. It was Chazaka. They lived there. It Yashvut. They moved into Eretz Yisrael. They gave it the Kedusha Shnei. So the Gemara says, there were Harbi, Gemara says on Tazayinim and Aleph, there Harbi Karachim, there were many cities which had a Kedusha Rishon, a Kavshu Ale Mitzrayim, in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun. They conquered Eretz Yisrael. They endowed the whole Eretz Yisrael with Kedusha. And when the Kedusha was Batla at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, and then there were Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael the second time around at the end of the 7 years of Golas Bavel, v'lo kovshu alei Bavel. And the early Bavel, Ezra and his group, or the Rabbanim of that generation, decided, v'hinichum, they decided to leave it, not to be Mekadosh it. The Jews moved there. The Jews moved into the area. The Gemara's Lashon is a little not precise. Harbekrachen kovshu alei Mitzrayim v'lo kovshu alei Bavel. What do you mean kovshu? Alei Bavel wanted kovish anything. They didn't have any army. They didn't have any Jewish government till the days of the Hashmonaim. Nothing was kovshu alei Bavel. Even the parts that they were Mekadosh a second time. It means harbekrachen kovshu alei Mitzrayim v'lo kitshum alei Bavel. Not v'lo kovshu. They decided, they made a political decision not to be Mekadosh all of Eretz Yisrael that had Kedusha Rishayna. They left that areas. V'hinichum, they left that areas. Why? Because Shemitah was always a problem to observe Shemitah like today. It's still a problem. And that's what caused the whole Churban Bayis Rishon, because the Jews didn't observe all the Shemitah and all the Yovel. So they didn't want to have trouble again. So there were certain areas when they were Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael the second time around, v'hinichum, on purpose they decided to leave out areas, not to, even though the Jews moved in there and there was chazakah, the kedusha b'shanim was like they kibush. Kedusha b'shniyah, the Rambam says there was no kibush, like they chazakah. Chazakah means they moved in. But you have to have chazakah with the bezin has to have in mind, the rabbanim have to have in mind, we want to be mekadosh eretz yisrael. V'hinichum means that they left out areas on purpose for political reasons. We don't want to be mekadosh all the areas because shmita is too difficult. So v'hinichum kedei that the anim should have a job to work on the fields during the shmita year. You don't have to observe shmita if it doesn't have kedushas haaretz. And what are you mafrish? What matonas are you mafrish? So in the 6 years of the shmita cycle, we know. The first 2 years you mafrish truma gedola ma'aser rishon ma'aser sheni. Third year instead of ma'aser sheni mafrish ma'aser rani. And the next 3 years I repeat to the first 3 years. What are you mafrish in the seventh year? You never mafrish anything in the seventh year. Everything is hefker. You're not mafrish anything. So what if you have an area which they were never mekadosh the second time around? So Minatora doesn't have kedushas haaretz. But the Rabbanan, they want you to be mafrish trumas and maasis because it's right bordering on Eretz Yisrael. It's in the middle of Eretz Yisrael. There are patches within Eretz Yisrael that don't have kedushas haaretz. The hinichum, and they left it out, that number one, the anim should be able to get a job to work the ground there during Shnas HaShmita. They didn't introduce Shmita. Number two, k'dei sheyismuch aleihem anim mishvis, they should get maaser oni. It's a blank year. You can make up whatever you want. You can make up no truma gedola, yes truma gedola, maaser rishon, whatever you want. So the rabbis made up, it should be a year of maaser oni. It doesn't fit into any cycle. The cycle of the first 6 years has the cycle. The seventh year, there is no cycle. So that's a shaila. What about the Paris and Eretz Yisrael? Do they become hefka automatically? Vashviyas tishmetenu and etashtav. So that was a big machlokes between Rabbi Yosef Kara and the Mabit. The Mabit was a contemporary of his. Also in the Bezna of Rabbi Yosef Kara. So Rabbi Yosef Kara felt Vashviyas tishmetenu and etashtav means that it's a mitzvah incumbent on the Jewish farmer to declare as hefka all the Paris that grow during Shnas HaShmita. And if the field is owned by a non-Jew, non-Jew doesn't have a mitzvah to be mafke the peres. It's not for the Shema mitzvah ben inoch. He doesn't have to be mafke the peres. If a Jew will buy peres from the non-Jew, during Shnas HaShmita, they grew a non-Jew's field, it'll be chayv in Shumas HaMaisus. So it's chayv in Shumas HaMaisus. The Mabit disagreed. Mabit said, no, Shviz Tishman Tarantasha means Avkaita de Malko. The peres become hefka automatically. You don't need that the farmer should declare, I'm hereby being mafke the peres. The pears become hefker automatically. So according to the Mabit, even the pears that grow in the field that belongs to a non-Jew has kedusha sa'aret. So the pears are going to be automatically hefker. And the Rabbi Yosef Kara held not so. The pears in Shnas HaShmita only become hefker if the Jewish farmer is mafker them. So what about, let's say, they have a heta mechira. So they sell the farms to a non-Jew, and the non-Jew is not going to be mafker the pears. According to Rabbi Yosef Kara, they won't be potter from Trumas HaMaisis. So what are you mafrish in this Nash HaShmita? So Trumas Gdoyla Maisa Rishon, that's a dead giveaway. That we understand. What are you mafrish for the next one? You mafrish Maisa Sheni, you mafrish Maisa Rani. What are you supposed to be mafrish? We don't have any precedent. So it's a big discussion, and all it's Halacha LaMaisa. It's relevant to Halacha LaMaisa. What are you supposed to be mafrish? Maisa Sheni or Maisa Rani? This is interesting, this V'hinichum. The Kedusha Rishayna was like Kitchelos Ilovit. The Kedusha Rishayna that was created by Yeshua ben Nun's army conquering Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam explains was undone when the Babylonian armies conquered Eretz Yisrael away from the Jews. So the whole Kedusha Eretz Yisrael rested on the, was based on the fact that there was a kibush. Once the kibush was undone, so the Kedusha was undone. But then the Kedusha Shniyah was al yedei chazaka. The Jews just moved in. So then that, the Rambam says, is Kitchelos Ilovit. That can't be undone because of the fact that the Roman soldiers conquered Eretz Yisrael away from the Jews. In the beginning of the Bais Sheni, the Jews never conquered Eretz Yisrael, so the Kedusha Shniyah didn't rest on the fact that there was a kibush. As you say, it should be undone through the kibush. So the Kedusha Shniyah was never undone, so that remained. But the Hinichum, they decided, made a political decision to leave out sections in Eretz Yisrael. Why were they the Balabatim to decide to leave out sections in Eretz Yisrael? That's an interesting question. Who the Bez Nagol? How mi samcha l'roish? Who decided that they're the Balabatim? They decide what should have a Kedusha? The Gemara has sometimes. It's called the Mikadosh Adaita the Rabbanan Mikadosh. The Gemara says when a couple gets married, the Kiddushin is only valid if it has the approval of the Rabbanan. So the Rabban writes, the Sri Yesh has a tshuva. Sri Yesh writes, before the Second World War, he had a big library in Berlin in the Hildesheim Seminary in the Yeshiva. But then after the war, he didn't have such a big library anymore. So someone sent him a letter. They quoted a Rabban. So he said, please send me a whole copy of the Rabban. I don't know what it says there. So he sends him a whole hetek of a whole chunk of the Rabban. This concept. So we had certain people who had smicha from Orthodox yeshivas, so they were doing hafkoas kiddushin. Hafkir abari kiddushin minei. We had the rabbis who declared women were agunas. So three rabbis got together. And they decided we're going to declare that the woman doesn't need a get. One of them was a bookkeeper, one of them was a candlestick maker, one of them called the Mekadosh, Adaita Rabban Mekadosh. Everybody gets married, has in mind what the bookkeeper and what the candlestick maker and what the real estate man and what the investor has in mind. Who is it? Called the Mekadosh, Adaita Rabban Mekadosh? Which rabbis do you have in mind? So the Rabban writes, Bezn HaGadol. You only have the ability to be mafkir kedushin if it's bezn hagadol, or you have an equivalent of a bezn hagadol. The Gemara says on the last daf in Brochus, Rebbe Akiva was in Chutz Lortz and he was mikadosh chadosh ma'abashani because he was the undisputed gadol ador. He's lohiniach kemoiseh be'eretz Yisrael. There was nobody in Eretz Yisrael who was as great as Rebbe Akiva. Towards the end of his career, when he was a young man, he was unknown. Towards the end of his career, he was the undisputed gadol ador. So the one who's the undisputed God Lador has the status, in a certain sense, of the Rabba Muvik of all, like Beznagor, has the status of Rabba Muvik, all the people in the generation. So the Rabban writes such a chiddush. Afkir Rabban Kedusha Minei is only if you have a Bezn HaGadol, or if you have such an undisputed body, person, or a body of rabbis, a group of rabbis who are clearly the Gedolei Hador. So they have the ability to be Afkir Kedusha. That's an interesting concept. Why do they have the right to be mafkir kiddushin? So it might appear that kiddushin has an element of kiddusha to it. We discussed a while ago the Avni Nezer quoted the Kuzari, why it says v'nitma tumah is a type that is associated with kiddusha. Whenever a couple gets married, there's an element of kiddusha that's introduced into the marriage. So apparently, all inyanim of kiddusha in Klal Yisrael that are negeah to the rest of Klal Yisrael have to have the approval of the Bezn HaGadol. You have the Taroim had discussions which were written Baruch HaKadosh should be incorporated into the Kisra HaKadosh and which not. Who made them the Balabatim to decide? They weren't just deciding a historical topic whether the Sfarim were written Baruch HaKadosh. Just because the Sefer is written Baruch HaKadosh doesn't automatically become a Chelik of the Kisra HaKadosh. That's a prerequisite. And then the Rabbanim have to vote, they have to decide, should we incorporate this particular sefer into the Kisra HaKadosh. So it seems that Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is up to the Bezn HaGadol to decide. And Kedushas Kisra HaKadosh, what should be incorporated, what not, is up to the Bezn HaGadol to decide. And the same thing, Kedushas Ishus, is up to the Afkir Abari Kedushim Minei. That's what the Rabban says. When you have such a central Bezdin, and the Kedushas Ishus is relevant for all the rest of Klal Yisrael to determine whether any given woman is an Eshus Ish or not an Eshus Ish. Eshus Ish has an element of Kedusha. It rests on the Kedusha of Ishus. And in the end of the last parak in Ksubis, the Gemara has, what did they do with the leftover money that the people gave for the Machzah Shekel purposes? So the Mishnais, the Gemara quotes Mishnais from Shkolim, what they did with the leftover money. Said the Gemara, what do you mean? Leftover money is Hegdish. They used to pay Malamdim. They used to pay Lamdei Tinoikis in Yerushalayim. They used to pay... There were people who would give refresher courses for the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash, how to be makrav the Karbonis properly. So they used to pay them also, they used to salary them. The Gemara said, what do you mean salary them? This is Hegdash Digam money. Machzah Shekel has the Kedushas Kochi Kochi money. It's Kedushas Damim Lamizbech Kochi Kochi. You're supposed to use it for the purpose of purchasing Karbonis Tibu, which are all Kochi Kochi. There is no Kochi Kalim in Karbonis Tibu. Once a year, there's Shlomim on Shavuot, Shalmei Atzeres. Shalmei Atzeres are Kochi Kochi. Shlomim all year long, Shalmei Yochid is Kochi Kalim. And Shalmei Tzibur, Zivche Shalmei Tzibur is Kochi Kochi. So everything is Hegdish. So how could the Bezin decide to use the leftover, the money that was left over from Machzah Shekel, how did they decide to use it for other purposes? So Gemara says, Lei Bezin Masna Lehim. So what does that mean? What do you mean, Lei Bezin Masna Lehim? So Tosfos comments on that Gemara in the last paragraph in Ksuv is called the Magdish Adai to the Bezen Hu Magdish, just like called the Mikadish, just like whoever gets married Adai to the Rabbanu Mikadish. So it will be here by the Machzah Shekel Kol Magdish, whoever sets aside Kedushas Machzah Shekel, all of these Kedushas. A guy makes a pair of tefillin, that's a private thing. I don't know if you have a right to say the Bezen HaGadol has a right to declare that the tefillin don't have Kedusha, the Sefer Torah has no Kedusha. But to decide what belongs in the Kisra Kodesh, to decide what parts of Eretz Yisrael should be in Niskadish and whether a woman should be in Eshes Ish, that's considered the Ger to all of Klal Yisrael. And the Machzah Shekel money, whether it's Kodesh or not, is a function of the, has to do with the whole of Klal Yisrael. The Machzah Shekel money is for the purpose of purchasing the Korban HaSiva. So apparently this Gemara V'hinichum goes along with all the other Gemaras. That these kind of Kedushas have to be determined with the approval of the Bezen HaGadol. So Nachman, what were the three things that he said? Tzaras Abbas, Muteris Lehinase Lashuk, she does need Chalitza. The second thing is, Kedusha Rishayna Batla, and the Kedusha Shniya, the Bezen had the right. He was there, Chagai was there. Chag Zechar Malachi with the three Nevim in the beginning of the Bais Sheni period. He says, we left out a lot of areas on purpose, because we wanted to have a solution for the poverty. So the Anim will make a parnasa, they'll do the work in Shnas HaShemitah, and they'll get Maaseh Rani. The third Psak Mekablan, Gerim Ena Karduyim V'hat Tarmudiyim. You shouldn't think that there are Mamzerim there, so if they'll convert, that they're really Jewish all along. So but we don't know who's a Goy, who's a Jew. So he said, no, none of them are Jewish, they're all non-Jews. Mekablan Gerim Ena Karduyim V'hat Tarmudiyim. And there's no chashash of Mamzerim. So the Gemara is going to say that not everybody agrees to this third point, that some of them say that there were communities where they acted like non-Jews, but many of the people were Jewish and they would talk mamzer. If they want to convert, it'll be a suffix mamzeres. Okay, tomorrow we'll try to go a little further.
Someone asked about making a new house now, and they were concerned about the new houses, like not closing up a window.